Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights at the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights at the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off to mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye! Hear ye! King Shaziz the Turbo! All rise for King Shaziz the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table!
Awing my way, awing my way, awing my way, awing my way, awing my way.
nothing happening here. But what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Waiting around to see if some of the knights call in, but in the meantime, want to pose a question to you. What's life like outside of your door? You know, how's life for everyone else around you? Your neighbors, your friends, people that you don't even know. You know, I watched a movie last night, and it's called Paying It Forward. A little kid going to school, and the teacher gave him a lesson to see if he could change the world, everybody in class, to see if they could change the world. And so, pretty much the kid came up with the idea that he would help three people out, and then those three people would go out and help another three people out, and so on down the line until it just kind of expanded. And I won't ruin the movie for you, so you can go watch that, but if you get an opportunity to go watch that movie, Paying It Forward, it's got a really good life lesson in there. You know, there's a lot of things going on out there in the world. You know, right directly outside my door, I don't really see any chaos in the world, but I keep up with the news, I listen to the radio, and I read and hear all the stories. You know, wars and rumors of wars and so on. Plagues, famine, pestilence, starvation, you name it. But when you sit back and you think about the whole grand scheme of things, and how big the world is and how many people's actually out in the world, you start to wonder if there's anything that you can do at all to make a difference in the world. We were fortunate enough to have a couple friends from one from out of the country and one from out of state to come in and spend some time with us and get to know one another and had some fun. You know, good times, bad times, all that kind of stuff. just like families do. And so with that said, you know, there's something to be said for reaching out across the world, meeting individuals from all over, from different countries, different nations, backgrounds, beliefs. A lot of talents and a lot of skills, a lot of wonderful things going on. Learned a lot. Learned a little bit about myself, a lot about others. We all sat around and watched this movie together, and in the one scene where all these people were coming together and they had the candles lit and they were honoring this little boy, and I looked at all those people heading that direction, and I told Shannon and Cultus and my wife Beverly, I said, you know, that's what the dream's all about right there. It's all these people coming together. It's a to some people it's a utopian dream. It's an impossibility. But anytime you can interject hope into life and at least make the attempt, I believe all things are possible. And so what we're doing here on all these networks is, to me, it's a really important thing. It's important to reach out and help people that you don't know. It's important to reach out and help people that you do know. It's important to help yourself and to keep yourself strong so that you can be strong for the rest of the world. There's not one single individual out here who's perfect, you know. Every one of us have our flaws. And it takes... Sometimes it takes a whole lot to get over those flaws. It takes a whole lot to believe in yourself. I got a lot of good friends around the world. Some of them suffer from a bit of depression. Some of them think little of themselves. And I always try to keep telling them, no, that's not the case. You're just as valuable as the next guy. Your talents and your skills, your friendship, it does make a difference. You know, we come together and we do these radio shows and we talk about alternative energy and alternative food and alternatives to everything. Alternatives to the system that has gone by the wayside, has become so corrupt and it just devours everything that gets in its path. Every individual out there, the ones that tune in on Saturdays and Sundays, and as far as yesterday, Saturday, I apologize for not being on there for my mad science show. I had a couple things myself I needed to work through. But after watching that movie last night, I realized that I'm not wasting my time doing this. Even if there was only one person on the other side of this microphone listening in, and I benefited their life, it would be worth its weight in gold. We can make a difference. It's just, you gotta get up, you gotta do it. You gotta make that effort. You know, in my religious beliefs, in the text it talks about that no man would know the time or day, that he'd come like a thief in the night. And tragedy usually does come like a thief in the night. In the middle of the night you got an entire family and you know, their house catches on fire and some of them barely escape from their lives and some of them don't escape at all. Wars. You know, they just sneak up on you. One minute everything's all sunny outside, the next thing you know there's smoke and fire in the air. Comes to you like a thief in the night. Death of a loved one, same thing, it comes like a thief in the night. So there's something to be said for those words in that text, that somebody wrote it down like wisdom, you know? That's why I try the best, and I don't always succeed, but I try to treat everybody the way that I would like to be treated. Sometimes I fail, and I fail miserably. You know, every one of us has a dark side. Every one of us has a golden side. And when that dark side rears its ugly head and you live your life full of regrets of things that you wish you hadn't done or said, you got to keep a grip on it. You got to keep a grip on yourself. But what you can't do in this whole process is give up. You can't lay down and not try. You just can't do it. If you give up on yourself and you give up on humanity, the world we leave behind for all the future generations is not going to be a very good one. There's a whole lot of things going on right now. There's people moving army tanks and ships and supplies in certain directions, and all it's going to take is a firecracker to set it off. Sometimes in a party, it's the liquor that's the firecracker. Sometimes somebody brought some heartache with them to the table, and you know, they were set off by the least of things. Sometimes it was just a case of mistaken intentions or miscommunication. I keep saying to everyone out there in the world, you don't realize how powerful you really are. The power of the spoken word, the power of the pen, the power of your actions. I keep repeating that, hoping that that will sink into people. Hoping that they would realize how powerful you really are. You got the power of love, and you share that with anyone in this world, and you make a friend, you change that friend's life forever. You know, if you can hold on to that friendship, that's a wonderful thing. But sometime down the line, if you allow the dark side to come rearing its ugly head up from the depths of the darkness, and you destroy that friendship, that person's life is still changed, no matter what. The moment you came in contact with them, you changed that individual's life. And so it's always been my belief that you want to change that individual's life in a positive manner. A good and the best first impression and the best last impression. So paying it forward, what does that mean, you know? What does it mean to do something for somebody, you know, to try to lift them up out of whatever it is that they're in? What it means to me is, if I was in that person's shoes and somebody did that for me, I would have a light of hope that would be shown down on me that would give me the motivation to try to do that for somebody else. You put a couple dollars down on the table and you walk away without any kind of want for return, just to pay for somebody's meal, or at the counter when you got people behind you that you can see might be struggling. They might not even be struggling. That might be the wealthiest man standing behind you. But regardless of any forethought of doing anything outside of just goodness, out of love of your heart, you just put it down and you pay for something for somebody else. And you walk away. Forget about it. It always comes back to you. It always does. Just like the negativity side, anything you do bad to somebody always comes back to you. If it's just in the form of sheer regret, it'll come back. And it'll come back with a vengeance. If it's in the form of love and it comes back with a vengeance, then you live a wonderful life. Everything is great. Like I said, I got a lot of friends all over the world, and I know some of them's having their struggles, and they do what they can out of the goodness of their heart to help other people. All of these people out here of like minds kind of gravitating to the center of what they believe is the right thing to do. The right thing to do is exactly what we're doing here at No Borders Radio and Wake Radio and all these other networks. Shazoo's Radio. It's not about the name, it's about the people behind the scenes. You know, you listen to a radio show and you don't realize that behind the scenes there's a whole lot of stuff going on to make that radio show happen. There's a whole lot of people paying it forward because they too believe in the dream. Sometimes it gets a bit emotional. Anytime it comes from the heart, you can't help it. It's not always tears of sadness. Sometimes it's tears of joy. Sometimes it's that visual of all them candles and all them people coming together. Sometimes it's just seeing a smile on somebody's face for something you did that was good. It's a whole wide range of ways to pay it forward. Pay it forward with your money. Pay it forward with your heart. Pay it forward with your actions, with smiles. You affect three people and they go out and affect another three people and they keep that positive pebble in the pond thing running. I keep saying about the positive pebble in the pond. It just... Oh, God, I wish Shaziz would quit saying that. It's getting annoying. If you think about it, and you throw that pebble into that pond, those ripples will go out and they will infect the entire pond. Nobody is unaffected by that wave that comes through that pond. So with that said, in order to make this world a better place, it starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with all of us. You get on these social networks, go out there and tell your friends at Facebook if you believe what it is that we're doing. Tell them to come on over here. Tell them to jump in the chat room. www.shazizradio.com. Jump in the chat room. It's all free. Ain't nobody spying on you over here, except maybe the NSA. But we just say hi to them and keep rolling. It's okay. We also got links to all the other radio networks that we talk about. There's other radio stations that aren't even broadcasting with us that we also share their links as well, because we believe that if they're trying to do something positive in the world, then any step forward is better than a step backwards when you're talking about bringing humanity into the light. In my belief, it's bringing the world closer to God. Whatever God may be to you, maybe something different to somebody else, but either way, bringing all these people together to make a difference in the world is what it's all about. It's our version of paying it forward. It is important. It's very important. Well, I talked about him coming like a thief in the night. You know, we've heard all the doomsday scenarios. We've heard all the wars, and we're on the verge of World War III. We're on the verge of everything. Total disaster. We can't sit back and wait for it all to happen. We can't just sit back and live in fear and sadness because we think it might happen or there's the potential. We got to live our lives on a day-to-day basis and make each and every minute count as if it were our last. We got to treat our families the best we possibly can and our friends. And we got to think before we act, because the consequences aren't nice. They're not pretty. There's no other alternative but to try to do something. If you do nothing, then nothing gets done. So if you do something, then at least something gets done. What more can you say? Got a lot of wonderful people in a lot of different nations out there. I think about all the knights that come on the Knights of the Round Table. And I think about their backgrounds. Each and every one of them's got something wonderful to bring to the table. Old Thomas Anderson out there, he got a brilliant mind. He's just an incredible soul. Got my friend Dieden out there, and what can I say? He's another wonderful soul. Mitko and Steve, and there's actually a couple Steves out there. All the Steves that I know are batting two for two, man. Both wonderful people. Both of them have their own things, their own personalities, their own struggles that they go through. But both of them are willing to share some love. Both of them are willing to step out of their comfort zone to help somebody else out. Both of them have continued to pay it forward ever since the day I met them. Got my friend Muddy Mudman out there. He took in another friend, and he's been taking care of that friend ever since. Giving that friend not only a place to stay, but to know what it's like to be family, to know what it's like to have a place where you're loved. You realize how amazing that is? My friend Muddy, he wouldn't take no credit for it. He's a humble soul. He wouldn't want to try to make himself sound better than the average Joe. He just wanted everybody out there to learn from his example and love somebody else. That's how important it is. A friend Cultus came all the way from Australia. We spent some quality time together. Even blew up a few things in the lab. Had some fun, acted a fool a few times. We tried to cram as much stuff in one time as we could get. We're all pretty wore out because of it. But at the end of the day, when it was all said and done, a friend Shannon came from Indiana with her boy. Z-Man, he's an awesome little character. Big heart. We all loved each other before. And like my friend Cultus posted on his deal, we all love each other even more now. and found out that nobody's perfect, but everybody has the same goal in mind. So when you're talking to your friend out there on the internet, and you know they got their own little personalities, and you start a relationship with them, you talk to them for days and years, and you get to know them, you may never even get the chance to see them face to face, but you know their heart, you know their mind, you know their wisdom, you know their flaws. Everything you do and say to them, you're paying it forward in one way or another. Something wise that you say, they'll repeat to a couple of their friends, two or three of their friends, who will repeat it to two or three of their friends. So when you're passing information on out there, you want to pass it on with responsibility, knowing that you throw that pebble in the pond, you're throwing a positive one in there. It's a humbling experience whenever you actually get down to think about what it is that we're doing and how many people that we are affecting. None of us want to be the king. We just all want to be brothers and sisters and get together and have barbecues and things like that, you know. We don't necessarily aspire to fame and fortune. A little bit of wealth would be nice. We could do a lot of good with a lot of wealth. But outside of that, when you come to my house, you're my family. We'll sit down and have a meal together. It's a good conversation. Heck, what more can you ask? Doomsday ain't going to send you an email. It's not going to send you a text. Doomsday ain't going to send you a phone call. And Doomsday's not going to send you a letter in the mail or via UPS. Doomsday's just going to show up like a thief in the night. In my religious beliefs, my beliefs, there's a glorious power at the end of that day. It comes out, it has a happy ending. It means that my God's going to come back and set everything right. I was just kind of in hopes that we could all set it right before my God came back. I was just kind of in hopes that we could all make the world a better place before that day ever even occurred. I'd like to do something wonderful for people before I go. As many wonderful things as I can. I look out there into the world. I see everything that's going on. I see the path that humanity's on. That person underneath that bridge, sleeping underneath some newspaper, on top of some cardboard, maybe not even that much. That's one of us. That lady pushing that grocery cart down the street with all the things that she scrounged up, wearing the shabby clothes, that's one of us. That mentally ill homeless guy just wandered around digging in the trash for food. That's one of us. My God said, whatever you do to the lesser of my people, you do unto me. That has a profound meaning to it. It means that none of us are above one another. It means not even that fancy dressed man standing up there on the deal preaching out to the congregation of his church. It's not any better than any of the sinners sitting in the pews. At the end of the day, when my God shows up, he'll be judged right alongside me and anyone else. So here at Shazoo's Radio and All, Awake Radio, No Borders, you sit down and talk to these people and you're going to find out that these people, they don't think they're better than you. They want to hear what you got to say. As long as it's delivered in a respectful manner, they'd be willing to agree to disagree in a respectful manner. Or maybe you might even just make a friend. A lot of us, we've been around for quite a long time, coming back from radio networks to a new radio network. Old familiar faces in the crowd. I honestly think we're making the world a better place. One little positive pebble at a time, one little step. And we can't sit around and wait to see if the world's going to fall apart. It's falling right before our very eyes. We can't sit around and wait. We can get out and do and say enough things to pay it forward to enough people. So what we do have over all of the elite of the world is we've got numbers. We've got the majority, and we've got love in our hearts. And we can define the path that we lead. I'm gonna go ahead and throw on a tune and see if I'll get any knights that want to join in. I think I'll actually throw on a couple tunes there. Stay tuned, everyone. Peace and love.
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country
and survive.
I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. Grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Gazing through the window at the
Shazam the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. It's old King Shaziz the Terrible here. Don't forget I rule with an iron fist. Anyway, you know, we've all got a whole life full of things, regrets and things that we can't change. Some of us got lives full of, you know, really good stuff that we've done. You know, some of us had to learn a few hard lessons before we got where we are today. The one thing stands true in this whole paying it forward thing is we definitely, we all have a common goal here. Common goal to make our world a better place. You know, I like to know that you're happy. I like to know that you're doing well. I got my friends that came out and visited, one from Australia, Cultus, and Shannon. They're on their way back to Indiana right now as we speak, and we all pray for a safe journey for them because we love them so much. Little Z-Man, pray that they make it there safely. So if you're into the power of prayer, maybe you'll throw a little prayer out there for them as well. Make sure they make it home all right. Yeah, I talk about a lot of wonderful friends that I met. My buddy Dublin out there in Spain, he's... Not only got the greatest internet connection, but I'm telling you what, he's a trooper. He's a wonderful soul. A lot of brilliant research, and he's always willing to help people out. I'd like to meet him someday. Heck, if there was a way to get us all in one place at one time, that would just be the most amazing thing, the most amazing get-together. All things are possible. All things are possible. We've been given an amazing gift, an amazing opportunity with the resources that we have at our disposal. We've been given just an amazing chance to make or break something. We are all creators in our own right. We create our own pain, we create our own suffering, we create our own destiny. And from my beliefs, we were created in the likeness of our Creator. So with that said, the world that we want to live in, we have to define it. We have to define our world. If we allow this world to be defined by others out there that we don't necessarily agree with their ways... And the world we live in isn't necessarily going to be ours. We still got to live in it. It's like I said, we're all in the same boat. I'm proud of the Knights of the Round Table. Of all the crazy ideas that old Shaziz has had in his history, I think the Knights of the Round Table was the best. When we bring these brilliant minds together, these loving souls to the table, and we talk about everything under the sun. Sometimes we talk conspiracy. Sometimes we talk science. Sometimes we just talk decency. But the key is we're talking. We're communicating amongst each other from all different nations. We're communicating from across the world. And we are trying to spread a positive message of hope and love to the world. I just think that what we're doing here is so important. I'm going to see if I can make a call here and try to add a couple people in. I don't know how many people is actually going to make it. I don't know if I can even pull this off. Usually my buddy Cultus hosts the call for the nights. But I'm going to see if I can do it. Let me throw on a tune here. And let's see if we can get some people up in here. everybody. It's old King Shaziz the Terrible. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. We got our honorable knight Diadon in here, and Dublin, and Mitko. And so, with that said, how you guys doing?
I'm awake.
You had your coffee yet?
No. Yeah, I just got it. So.
That's cool. Anyway, we were talking about paying it forward, man. You know, first off, before I even go any further, I got to tell you guys that it's not only a humbling, but it's an honor to have you guys as friends and honorable knights out here. You know, it's just what you guys do is a whole lot more important than you might realize. It's to be able to talk to you guys from clear across the globe and to do the things that we do and try to spread positive hope and peace and love to everybody around here. Y'all watch that movie, Paying It Forward, and if you haven't had an opportunity to see that movie, go watch that movie and pay real close attention, because there's one heck of a message to that movie. But the thing that hit me the most of that entire movie wasn't merely the act of what was going on, why one person would go out and do something good for three people who would then in turn go out and do something good for another three people and so on down the line. What hit me the most about that movie was the outcome of how many people converged in there at the end of the movie with their candles.
Yeah.
That's to me what the whole dream is all about. That's to me what the Knights of the Round Table represent, is those candles, bringing those people together. You know, I've said this before, that you know, it's a shame that in families it takes a tragedy to bring a family together. But the family coming together is an amazing thing. You know, it's when you got a message that resonates that strong, that brings people from all different nations and all different walks of life and races, religions, colors, everybody drops.
Yeah, it's like an empathetic connection we all share, understanding of one another.
Yeah, when they drop their disputes and they drop their hatred and they come together in love, and you see that and you actually see it on the masses, that's to me a miracle. And so we're throwing positive pebbles in the pond. We're trying to bring about that miracle. We're trying to make our world a better place, you know. And to me, it is a worthy cause. And the fact that I'm talking to a friend in Spain and one in Bulgaria and one in on the other end of the United States, for me, the fact that I got to spend some time with my friend from Australia and my friend from Indiana, and the fact that we have all these different networks that broadcast and rebroadcast. I got my other friend, doggone, he told me earlier this morning where he ended up. He's traveling around the world. I need to look and see where he went, because I forgot. It's hate it when that happens. But you know, that's no little thing, man. These connections from around the world are no little thing. They're seriously the positive pebbles that are making the difference in the world. What do you guys think?
Yeah, a shift in the paradigm. Lots of people all over the world connected now we have the ability to. And even if we didn't have the ability to do it with the internet, there'd probably be other means, you know. And fact that we have the internet as a tool, it's quite helpful. I think it's progression is what it's all about. That's what all life is about.
My friend Steve's in Singapore. Don't know why I couldn't remember that. Him and his wife went to Singapore. They're going to do some good things down there, teach people how to garden and stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah, I was actually talking to Steve a few minutes ago.
Yeah,
he's only arrived in Singapore about a couple of days now, I think.
Yeah.
So, and he was talking about how he was explaining the gardening process and, you know, all this... what you call it, with water, hydroponics, yeah. And they seem to like it, but you know, it's early days yet. He's only just kind of arrived and meeting people, and so you're not going to change Singapore overnight.
Oh no, and we're not going to change the world overnight, but the key is he got off the couch and he went, you know.
Yeah.
He put his feet over there in the neighborhood, and he's already throwing the pebbles out there, giving the people the ideas on how to make things, you know, that will benefit them.
Yeah. Anyway, I put in the box there just now the links for the what's called the Hope Girl 2012 WordPress.com.
For the Quag.
Yeah, the... quantum electro generator, where they claim it's an over unity device, and they supply the plans, and they say, you know, you can pretty well build it yourself if you want to. I don't know, it's early days yet. I only saw the information came out on the 25th of this month, and I didn't see it till maybe probably the 28th, so I haven't had very long to be able to study it. It looks interesting, but you know, the jury's out until you try and build a thing.
Well, you know what? If it's a start, then that's what the world needs. You know.
Oh, look! If it works, it's going to transform the planet. You put 1 kilowatt of power in. The device is about the size of a small wheel, like say off a scooter. You know, not so much a motorbike, but say a scooter. It's that kind of size, and it generates 10 kilowatts of power. It's mostly metal and copper wire, and it's got a few electronic components. Sorry?
There's mica plates and quite large capacitors.
Yeah, the capacitors are the biggest problem. The capacitors are not cheap. If you buy them.
Yeah, but you can make some really strong ones with aluminum foil.
That's right.
That's
possible. What? It might be possible to make suitable ones with using aluminum foil. They might be very big and very bulky, but if you've got a big house with a big garden, what do you care? You know, if the generator's out the back in a shed, doesn't matter how much space is taken up. And, so hopefully this is it, this is the machine. So I was thinking of proposing to the Knights that we make further studies of this machine and maybe try and get a group of 30 or 40 people together, and if we think that the machine will work, we all contribute a few dollars or bitcoins or whatever, and some of us build certain parts and others build other parts, and we try and make one work, and if it works, then happy days.
Well, you know what? I am all in.
I'm all in for it. If anybody wants to do it, you know, I reckon I can put about $50 towards it. Maybe $100 later on, but you know what I mean. You know, as the project progresses. Ballpark, I estimate it's $2,000 for the first one. You know what I mean? In yep. terms of material. After that, if it works, we might be able to bulk buy if we all want to make one and maybe get it down to a quarter of that price. You know what I mean? But the first one is like everything. It's always the most expensive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
well, it's worth it's worth looking into, and I'll definitely check it out from my side, and we'll go for it. You know, that's what the whole virtual labs things is about, is to get that together so we can do these projects together. I honestly believe we're going to find it. I honestly believe.
Oh yeah, it's there. I do think so. The thing is that we don't have to rebuilding. I mean, let's make a study of how much it costs. Let's make a study of, do we think it's going to work? I mean, one of us might spot, look, this thing is not going to work. Forget about it.
Notice interesting things about it. One is that it doesn't have any permanent magnets or anything like that. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things that are quite interesting about it, but one of them is the principle makes sense to me from everything else I've seen in the over-unity business and Tesla technology. It does seem to add up to make more sense than most of the other things I've ever seen out there. And I do know this crowd, and they've been on the net quite a bit, saying they've been developing this, and they're getting close, and they're getting close. And then the other day, they suddenly came and said, yeah, we got it. We've made it. We're now going to tour around. They're going to go to London in April. They're going to go to Morocco in April. And they're going to go to, I forget, some other country. And they're going to help locals build it. I'm close to Morocco. I'm only about, I'd say about 100 miles from Morocco. So, but Morocco's a big country. I mean, it might be right down the other end. I don't know where they're going. I don't know when they're going. I don't know how to contact them to ask them. If they were somewhere useful, I might be able to nip over in the ship and see what the story is directly. So I'm going to try and chase down that angle for the moment. I wouldn't place much bets in it. Cause
I think together we can find the answers you need to get you in the right place at the right time.
Exactly. Maybe somebody in London might be, you know, one of the people that we know in London might be able to go and see them in London. And I must look up the other country they said they were going to go to. But we don't have to rush into it, you know, like we can build it slowly. And, you know, we'll go online and look the price of the parts. I think the most expensive parts looking to be the capacitors.
Yeah,
unless we build them ourselves. Now, unfortunately, the thing that worries me about the machine, they talk a lot about resonance, tuning and resonance. And whenever I hear in electronics the word tuning and resonance, I kind of say, oops. You know, when you're talking about electronics and tuning and resonance, it could be anything from where you have a million possibilities and only one possibility will work, and it'll take you 6 months to nail down that tuning, or it could be a very simple tuning, like just, you know, measuring the spark plug gap and a bit of a tweak, and, you know, it'll run pretty well any tuning, but it'll run better at certain points. So that's where I see, if there's going to be a problem or an issue, that's where the issue will probably be. So I want to try and nail down as much as possible about that, find out how difficult is this tuning and resonance problem. I mean, it's in electronics, tuning and resonance, you know, it's a kind of a, that can be anything from, you know, five clicks in the dial to a million clicks in the dial.
Yeah, there's some technicals there that you got to factor in, you know, the length of the wire and so on and so forth, but I don't believe it's beyond the realms of possibility.
This is it. I'm quite convinced Tesla cracked it. I was actually discussing it on a show, another guy's show last night, and I suspect what Tesla was doing was the opposite of what we do presently with electronics. With electronics presently, for example, we have a radio, a base radio, you know, maybe a local FM station or something like that, and we have all our electronics, which might be a 100 watt transmitter, and then we have a big antenna out the back, maybe to transmit on a certain frequency. So we might have a full length antenna or a half length antenna or a 1/8 length antenna, but let's assume we have a full length antenna, the same size as the frequency we're using. So maybe the frequency we're using, the wave is 1 meter high. So we have a 1 meter high antenna on top of a very large antenna. But the and so what we do is the electricity will go up the antenna, hit the end of the aerial, and then back down, like a bit like a, you know, the way they describe a pen would. You've got paper that's flowing past, and you got a pen. And, you know those Geiger counters, and you go up and down and mark on the paper.
Yeah.
Because it goes up and it goes down in a particular cycle, you get your sine wave, your classic sine wave coming off the antenna. But what most people don't know is that quite often only 1% of the 100 watts is transmitted off the antenna. So it's a very poor ratio in terms of power from the radio to the transmitter. You know, quite often in the 1% or the 10%, but they're very, very low percentages of power that you start with gets out the antenna and gets beamed around the planet. Now, I suspect that what Tesla's doing is the opposite. He's catching the power off the antenna, and somehow or other, he's probably catching 100 watts off the antenna and giving us 1 watt at the radio end. And because there's so much energy out there, if he's giving us 10 kilowatts, he's probably catching on the antenna 100 times that, whatever that will be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
the energy that's out there, we live in a sea of energy, you know. So it's, you know, this 10 kilowatts is nothing to the sea of energy that's out there that's quite happy to give it to us. So basically he's found some way of tapping into that energy and converting it back into energy that we use in this dimension or this type of physics that we presently utilize, like electric engines. And so that's my best theory at the moment. And so this device looks to me to be really more like an antenna of sorts. I mean, it's pulling in the power from somewhere else. It's not over unity in the strict sense. It's just that it's power that from the ether that we just don't know how in this time to measure. In the future, we'll be able to measure it and say, yeah, there it is. The law of conservation is still conserved. The energy gets taken from that dimension or that ether, converted into our energy that we can measure, and the laws of conservation of energy are all conserved, and it's not over unity in the strict sense. It's only over unity because we haven't found a way of measuring that other power that Tesla tapped into. So that's my best theory in this time.
Well, you know what? It's moved forward, and it's worthy to look into. You know.
Yeah.
Like I said before, like with this whole throwing positive pebbles in the pond and paying it forward idea, you know, it don't get done unless we get up and do it, and that's what it's all about, you know. You know, Mitko was trying to get a message through there, and he basically saying the same thing we're saying, that we need to get more people throwing more positive pebbles, you know. It's just, man, I said it before, I'll say it again. I'm humbled by the Knights of the Round Table. I'm honored by the Knights of the Round Table. I'm honored by each and every one of you to take a little bit of time out of your life to actually come here and sit around the round table and talk about things like Dublin just got through discussing and talking about, you know, ways that we can make our world a better place. Because, you know, talking does make a difference. Discussing it does make a difference. You know, I've heard people say, you know, well, all we're going to do is sit around and talk about it. What's the point? We're not just talking about it. We're trying to bring other people to the table to talk about it and to do these things, to enact them. We're trying to get virtual labs online and get everything going for that so that we can do real-time experiments with one another. We're putting networks together and websites and videos and all kinds of stuff. You know, we're looking into everything from static motors to Bedini, Tesla, to Stan Myers and more. There's just so many different alternative energy devices out there. I mean, our backs are kind of against the wall because we're having to sort through all the old technologies to figure out new ideas, and we're having to come across a few knuckleheads that put out bogus ideas that kind of, you know, break our stride there, get us distracted from what it was we were doing. But the Holy Grail as far as energy for the world, and Tesla knew it, and all the other main science guys that you hear in the history of time, they all knew it. Tesla was a main proponent of it. He knew that if we could give everybody in the world free energy, that we could bring peace around the world, because there wouldn't be no reason to be fighting over resources or the lack thereof, which personally I don't believe there's any lack of resources. I believe they're just being used wrong and squandered, and we're doing a lot of damage to our planet and our environment that we shouldn't be doing. And it's the clock ticking that worries me the most. It's how long can we go making the same mistakes over and over again before the system finally decides that we're just not worthy any longer? You know, if you do...
Oh, yeah, well, I was discussing this new gadget on a couple of other forums. You know, I like to, put the news out in as many forums as I possibly can, so that, you know, you can spread the word that there might be this gadget that can be built. Here's the plans. If you want to build it, off you go. And if you want to form a group of people who want to build it, you know, off you go. But the amount of naysayers out there is quite big.
Oh, yeah.
Say, well, it's developed out of Tesla, and it's quite amazing how big a... how much trouble they've got. I mean, I was quite young before I discovered about Tesla. I think I was about 16 or 17, and I found a book about Tesla, and I read about him, and I thought, yeah, he's brilliant. I think that's why I went up and spent 2 years studying electronics, because he was quite an interesting guy. But I would say at that stage there might have been 10 people out of 4 million in Ireland that knew who Tesla was. He was pretty unknown, considering he'd already built the three-phase motor. So they went to a lot of time and trouble to suppress everything about Tesla, write him out of history, and they're still at it. Because the amount of people that come back and say, oh yeah, that story about him having a car, that's being dissed, you know, was a story by his nephew, and he didn't have a nephew, and, you know, go to this link and go to that link, and he realized that, yeah, they've gone to a lot of time and trouble to smash every single story about Tesla.
Yep.
What they generally say is, he was an interesting guy, he had a one-off, he made the three-phase motor, and then after that he got into bad science, which was the ether and all that.
Well, my first question is on their design, are they selling the plans or are they giving the plans away?
They're giving the plans away.
Well, see, now that is the first positive, that whenever I look into alternative energy, that's the very first thing I ask. If they're selling, I'm skeptical. If they're giving it away for the betterment of humanity, then I have positive hope in that deal.
All of the plans are right there. I mean, take a look at it. It's kind of interesting. They have a lot of specs to follow. My only disconcerting part is that it's not. There's no key to follow. You know, very well. Like the parts to the actual schematic, there's not an easy key to follow. But other than that, I mean, it's got everything there.
Yeah, I put that down to either two possibilities. One possibility is they've just invented the gadget, made it work, and they're in the process of doing up a better manual, and they just put it out there as is, raw.
Yeah, it's pretty raw.
Or it could be a scam, and what they do then later on is to say to all the people who build 100 of these, shucks, it's actually quite more complex for tunings give us $50 and we'll give you the special shooting device. You know. So
yeah, well, those are things that we'll, those are things that we'll have to be keep an eye on.
While we need to proceed slowly and cautiously and check out everything.
Can somebody
explain it kind of from just my, what I've looked at, researched it a little bit, and it looks like it's, you know, like a toroidal polyphase transformer, you know, can, like that's the hat.
Can somebody add Steve to the call?
What's his name in the Knights?
Hold on, I'll throw it in there.
Steve Hope.
It's in the chat deal there.
There we go.
Anyway,
it's like a polyphase transformer almost, you know, like it's got the four wrappings around it, and then it has a big mica plates in between, and mica plates are like the strongest insulator there is, pretty much. So any type of static buildup is going to be insulated out by those mica plates. It's kind of an interesting design. And then there's like a Teflon tube in the middle that's the rotor that spins around. It's a really interesting design. So, and there's no magnets in it at all. So it makes me think that it's a, you know, it's like a electrostatic device almost. It's really interesting.
What? I would call it impulse, more like lightning. That's what Tesla was working on. Instead of like sine wave or DC power where you have a flat line, or AC where you have a precision cycle, impulse is more like lightning where the energy builds up and suddenly releases rapidly. So you get a big spike and then a long decay. So it looks more like a sawtooth power, you know what I mean, or impulse power, and I think it's an impulse power device. That's my best way of understanding it.
Was you able to get Steve?
I'm trying here.
Yeah, he's well, he is in Singapore, so maybe you have to shout louder.
I keep trying to bring him in and he keeps hanging up. Oh, there we go. Slow connection. Try
it
again.
Cool.
Yeah, you can tell us all about Singapore. Put him on. I'd love to hear about Singapore.
How you doing, brother?
How you doing, guys?
Pretty good. How's life in Singapore?
Hot.
What do you say?
It's hot. It's hot.
Hot?
It's the 13th. And that's 10 o'clock at night.
Man. Well, watch out for them skeeters. I hear they'll carry you off over there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry if the sound quality is not very good, lads. So I've pretty much sold everything I own and left with two suitcases, so I'm down to my little laptop.
But it sounds pretty good.
Oh, well, glad to hear it.
Sounds like sounds like you're inside a hallway, though.
an apartment we were given by the wife's company for the first month while we're here. It's not the best of places with acoustics. It's a nice spot. But guys, glad to see you're still doing the show, and I do apologise if I've been AWOL, but I've literally been given 3 weeks to sell everything I own.
Well, we're just glad to hear you, brother. We're just glad to have you here, and we're going to keep the Knights of the Round Table going as long as one of us has access to the internet. So, you know, it's a worthy cause as far as I'm concerned.
There is some debatable policies in this particular country that I'm in at the minute, but I won't really get into that. But what I can say is if you come up with a good idea, they're interested.
Well, that's what we need. We need people who's willing to listen, you know. The average Joe's willing to listen. Well, for the most part, I mean, you do have the knuckleheads out there causing problems, but, you know, they're only hindering the process. But doesn't mean we've got to give up.
I have to say, living in the Republic of Ireland with a population of 4.7 million people that produce enough food to feed 35 million They're not really interested in new ways to grow food. You know, they've sort of pretty much got it sorted. But there isn't the cognitive dissonance either that comes from Brussels, where on one end they say that water is a scarce resource, and you offer them a method of horticulture that reduces water usage by 90%. And they're not interested.
They've already designed a system that they feel to be fine. It's making money.
For them.
Yeah, for them. Set up.
Well, and that's the key there, is every one of these corporations out there and the big wigs out there that figured out ways to make money, and they're not interested in anything that's going to take any of that money out of their pocket. But the average Joe, on the other hand, you know, we got to live, we got to get along, we got to try to get our families fed and educated, and, you know, instead of being indoctrinated by the system. And so, you know, that's why I say this Knights of the Round Table that we've been doing, it's more important than you could possibly imagine.
I've been looking at the tax status in Singapore. You're taxed on what you spend, not what you earn.
Well, that sounds like a better plan than what we got going on.
They also have free health care, I believe, don't they?
No, not unless you're a Singapore citizen.
Oh, you have to be a citizen. Okay.
So right. If you're an expat, then you will pay a lot more than a Singapore citizen, but you're using their resources.
Right.
So, I mean, this idea that you should have something for nothing without contributing to me is a bit mad anyway.
Well, I think we're all supposed to be pitching in. You know, it's kind of like when you take a family to a picnic, you know. Everybody brings a dish, and then everybody has a great meal, you know. And then, so with that said, that's how it works, man.
You reach a kind of a like a problem there a little bit, which is perspective. Who's to say somebody is or is not pitching in? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, there's obviously easy ways to do that, but you know, some people do things that aren't very. I don't seem. Right away to be very fruitful, but down the road you could produce something or an idea, you know.
Well, in my view, that family member that doesn't bring nothing but he keeps everybody laughing and then having an enjoyable time, he's pitching in.
Exactly. I
mean, think of it this way, lads. Their base rate of income tax is 6%. If you get up to the higher earning levels, it goes up to about 14%. But I'm walking around the place and they've got public parks which are very well maintained. In those public parks, they have exercise equipment donated by companies for the general good of the nation.
I see that.
Where do you see that?
Why couldn't all nations take that example, you know?
Well, they've got an MRT system of tubes and underground and overground trams and trolleys and that sort of stuff. And a few years ago, they were getting a bit old and rickety, so they voted to put taxes up. They bought the new rolling stock for the train system, and then put them down again.
Wow.
Now, isn't that an alien concept in the West, that when taxes go up, they come back down again, when what they were using it for has been achieved?
Ours just keep going up.
Well, this is my point. I mean, the West is banjack. I mean, the Irish Farm Diversity Manual clearly lists in its section on industrial hemp that there are 50,000 potential commercial uses for hemp fiber, oil, all the derivatives from the plant. But they make it impossible for anybody to grow it.
Yeah. Through bureaucracy and litigation.
You know, I'm just sick of it. I'm sick and tired of listening to people tell me that I'm offending pieces of paper because I'm trying to do something constructive with my life.
Yeah.
Well, and even in a police state, they seem to be more interested in it than they do in the West, particularly in Europe.
One of the biggest signs of ludicrousy that I've ever seen is bottled water, you know. You got to go to the store to buy fresh water, and it costs you at least $1 a bottle for water. Heck, that's more than fuel. That's more than gasoline, you know. We got Midco in there.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been here, what, 4 days now, and I've been talking to the local people about the concept of aquaponics, and they were saying, oh, that sounds really good. And I said, well, there's a guy here that's already raised $25 million in capital to build a full-scale aquaponics commercial system. So, I mean, it's not a case of, oh, well, you have to jump through our hoops. You know, if it works, they'll back you.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Then that's what needs to be done. More people need to back the individuals who are out there doing the research, you know. If you find that this particular individual working on alternative energy, you know, is up and up with what he's doing, he's not trying to scam anybody or ask for anything, that's the person you should be backing as far as I'm concerned. And aquaponics, you know, hydroponics, both, you know, growing fish at the same time you're growing plants.
Pretty good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a self-contained microculture system, if you like.
Exactly.
Biodiverse system,
right,
which is self-sustaining.
Right, because the fish supply the nutrients for the plants, and vice versa.
Yeah, the fish basically have waste urea that comes out of the gills. Natural bacteria break it down into NO2 and NO3 over a 6-week period, and the plants clean the water,
right,
literally. So, I mean, you can't really lose with something like that. I mean, you might have diseases if you don't have clean fish, and there could be potential problems, but that can be managed. But to just turn around and say, well, you're not allowed to try in the first place.
Well, you know, when we talk about things such as, you know, our economies being destroyed by design and all the different things out there, a lot of people look at us like we're nutcases for even saying that. But I always pose this question to them. I've been watching on TV for over 30 years of my life. I've been watching these commercials of little babies and children overseas starving to death, you know, flies buzzing around their face, living in worst case conditions and such. And then I have to ask, where were all these leaders out here who are always talking about saving the children? Where were they? Where are they now? Why has this problem not been solved in 30 years? We've got more resources on this planet than we could ever use in all of our lifetimes, even as populated as the world is today. You know,
it's a deep-seated problem. It goes down to the idea of money and the idea of ownership and privilege. I mean, those are some pretty old traditions, and old traditions are hard to die.
Well, I've even heard it being said that the government elites and the rich elites of the world would literally keep somebody down, you know, intentionally. You know, if they start getting too far ahead, then they'll start a war in that area, you know.
They're in fear. I mean, if you're out to lose something, you're going to try to hold on to it as much as you can. That's usually what the mind does, and that's what your brain tells you. Hold on to that, because your mind and your body, they're limited, you know. That's why we have time in the first place, because it's, you know, an expression of how long we are awake in this state of being, and then when we go back into, you know, a greater state of being, you know, and then they're not looking at it spiritually, which is, you know, a kind of an infinite type of way to look at things. It's a much larger lens.
Every single one of us sitting around the table, we've got the answers in our hearts and minds to solve the world's problems. And we got individuals out like that who would actually hinder the process. You know, you go scan around YouTube and you watch some of these videos of people coming out with good ideas. And like Steve was saying earlier, you could see how many people, maybe it was Dublin that said it, either way, you could see how many people are out there trying to discourage and discredit every single idea out there when they should be trying to feed that idea, you know, positive ideas, you know. Okay, look, I see your plan, but I see a flaw in it that maybe if you try this, would come out with a better result. See, instead of trying to grow that idea into something positive, you got a lot of knuckleheads out there just doing whatever they can to be disruptive. And, you know, where does that come from? It doesn't come from any of our hearts or minds. I'm sure of that.
Well, it definitely comes from our minds.
No, I'm talking about us of like mind sitting at this table right now. You know, you're not out there trying to trash somebody's research. You know, you might point out a flaw in the system, but you do it respectfully. That's what I'm trying to say. You know.
Yeah, that's very much true. But you know, I think that to solve that problem is something that people kind of have to solve themselves. And the best that you can do is say, you know, is just lead by example. I guess, you know, show how you can give constructive criticism or just be positive about something in the first place, and that rubs off. You know, it's just like walking down the street and you see people who are frowning and stuff like that, and if you're smiling at them and recognizing that they're, you know, alive and presently in front of you, and say things like, you know, hi, even simple as that, you can brighten up people's day, and that those things travel. I mean, thoughts are powerful, and those thoughts and emotions especially are powerful, and those things travel.
Yeah, and that falls right into the whole paying it forward. You don't have to pay it forward with money. You could pay it forward with a smile, you know. You get three people smiling, and they get three people smiling. Next thing you know, everybody's running around with a happy look on their face, and a lot of them don't even know why, but they're glad, you know.
Yeah. Oh, you can almost, like, feel an area. Like, if you really kind of, you know, understand situations and... It's hard to explain. Like, you're using empathy. You're trying to relate to others as just a piece of you, and vice versa. And you really feel an area out. You can tell when something's in, like, a negative space or a dangerous situation or however it is, or a positive space and a constructive situation or happy situation. Like, you can really feel that is there. Like, that we have that in us, but we kind of neglect it now. We use our mind more than our hearts, basically, in a way.
Well, sometimes I get kind of too doggone emotional because I kind of rule my life with my heart, because I try to think about everybody out there. You know, that homeless guy under the bridge, you know, he's my brother. I may not even know him. He might be a terrible person. Who knows? But it's not for me to judge. It's for me to try to do exactly like you said, lead by example, and hopefully... When he sees the love unconditional coming from somebody out there in the world, then he's more apt to adopt that into his own life and pass it on, you know. Anytime you pull somebody up out of the depths of darkness, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing, you know. And that's what our hopes are by doing what it is that we're doing. You know, I call it the Knights of the Round Table, but if you think about it, what we are doing is we are paying it forward. We're bringing these ideas to the table. We're trying to find every solution. We're looking at everything. You know, we're listening to each other. We're listening to all the things being said on here. We're absorbing this information, and we're taking the positive out of that information, and we're sending it on down the line. And that's that smile that you were talking about.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys, we're talking about solutions. I mean, that's what Knights of the Round Table and Mad Science has always been about for me. It's looking for solutions. Well, I found the solutions, and now I'm trying to implement them as best I can. But I'm in the unique position at the age of 41 of having nothing. I sold my bike. I'm in the process of selling my home.
But
and all of the money that I've collected from that, I'm going to use to build aquaponic systems in the Philippines.
But with that said, doesn't that pull a weight off your back that you never noticed before while you had all those things?
Oh, God, I'm no longer surrounded by a mountain of crap. Literally crap. As people give... I mean, I had an A1 gallery quality printer, and I took it down to the local psychiatric unit for their therapy department. So I know for a fact that there are people with serious psychological issues that are going to have access to a printer that would cost €3,500 to buy new.
So art therapy, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a new printer, but it came with a complete set of inks, which would have cost €600 to buy. It came with all of the rolls of paper, all of the materials, everything that could possibly go with it, even a calibration device for the monitor, so you can make sure what you see is what you print. And I've done as best I can to help them get it set up, and I've given them email addresses and contact numbers and said, if you have any problems, then get on to me and I'll do what I can to help you. I also gave them over 200 books, because people in psychiatric units do like to be able to read a lot. And, I mean, I've been donating books there for, what, 5, 6, 7 years now? And it's just, it makes you feel really good to take something that you've enjoyed and give it to people that need it, because the psychiatric services in Ireland are hugely underfunded.
Yeah. There's no money, there's no money to be made in it. So why would it get funding, you know? Money goes where money can be recreated in a way.
Yeah, but see...
Well, they make their money out of fluoride-based drugs.
But see, essentially every time somebody like Steve and y'all do these things, these gestures out of the kindness of your heart, you beat the system. And that's the way it's done. We don't ask for permission to feed our brothers and sisters. We just do it, you know? And
I mean, the policy in Los Angeles of not feeding homeless people, I mean, that is the ultimate contempt for your own brothers and sisters when you turn around and say, well, they're like stray dogs. If you feed them, they'll keep coming back.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you describe any person living on this planet as a stray dog?
Even straight dogs they have their place.
Yeah, but I'm walking around this place, and when you walk past somebody and you say hello, they smile at you and say hello back.
Yeah.
We've all got our burdens to bear. We've all got our problems in life, but the people who seem to rise above it. Why can't other countries do the same?
Well, we have a mentality of other countries in the first place. Like, we have borders, like, we're separated somehow.
Well,
the borders are created to enhance our lives or restrict them. That's the question I ask.
The key thing that I keep trying to point out to everyone out there, you know, I've gotten a few confrontations via chat with a few people about the whole, you know, America's all bad, you know, Russia's all bad. You take away the elite, you take away all the government's bankers, all the crime, corruption, and all that, and you're left with a massive amount of people just like you and I, you know. These are people who would rather sit down and have a barbecue with you than have a fight with you, you know. And so with that said, I believe that the majority of the people on this planet are capable of wonderful things. I believe they're capable of having a good heart. Everyone's capable of having a dark side. But if you're going to feed that dark side, it's the negative pebbles that you'll be throwing in the pond instead of the positive pebbles. And a lot of people don't think about that until you actually do something. You don't think about what it is that you've done. And I like to try to, if I can, and I don't always succeed because I'm only human, but I like to try to think before I act, to try to do something positive for this world, knowing that it's going to have a good outcome as opposed to the alternative. You see where I'm coming from, guys?
Yeah, it's like the two wolves story. Have you ever heard of that story?
No, tell it.
Well, it's an old Native American story. Grandpa and his grandson were sitting down, and son asked about bad and good, and the grandpa said, well, it's kind of like two wolves. There are two wolves fighting inside of you all the time, and one wolf is white and sheds light and is positive and gives and has a connection to all things and understanding and tolerant and all that, and all those positive aspects that you would see in good, right? And the other wolf was obviously black and dark and separated itself from everyone. It didn't like anybody and fought and was angry and upset all the time. And then the grandson said, well, which wolf wins? And the grandfather said, whatever one you feed.
You know, that is that. That's the key right there. Awesome story.
For 2 years now, I've been doing the radio show, Shazig's On and Off.
Yep.
And I've been losing battles in the battle between love and fear. And at some point, I had to pick myself up and say, well, look, talking about stuff never gets anything done. You have to actually go and do it. And my wife came to me and said, there's a job in Singapore. Shall I apply for it? And I could have said, well, you know, it's a police state that tracks everything you do. You can't do anything anywhere. I mean, if you throw a cigarette on the floor here and they catch you on a video camera, it will give you a $500 fine. Because you do not respect the country. It's as simple as that. If you want to be dirty and filthy and treat the place like a toilet, they'll come down with a heavy hand on you. And a lot of people don't like it, but the simple solution is don't throw cigarette butts on the floor.
Yeah, that should be...
How hard is that?
That should be the obvious solution. You know, I go back to that whole fishbowl deal all the time. I talk about the fish living in the goldfish bowl, you know, and we are essentially like those goldfish. You know, the goldfish, he's going to pee, he's going to poo in his own water, and if nobody from the outside even attempts to try to do anything, then it, eventually the goldfish dies. And I know that don't sound very what's the word I'm looking for? There's a lesson to be learned there. You can trash your fishbowl and you can wait for nature to clean it up. But the question is, are you going to last long enough for nature to get around to being able to clean it up? And so why trash the environment that not only you have to live in, but everyone else has to live in?
It's an educational thing, you know. It's showing how we're connected to each other, and how every single action and thought we do there's a connection with other people, and they echo throughout the entire, you know, human pattern. You know,
we are connected, and you can see it. You can see it whenever one of us comes on here, and one of us is feeling down or something like that, and everybody notices that this one particular individual, by way of his comments or the way that he you know, sounds or whatever, that you know, that something's wrong, and in our hearts we can feel their pain, and we want to say or do something to bring them back around to, you know, feeling happy again, you know, because it's like that smile, you know. You can walk into a room full of people with a disgruntled look on their face and everybody's all bummed out, they hate the world, and you just go in there and you just continue to smile no matter what's said or done, and eventually they can't help it. They smile, you know. And to me, that's power. Am I wrong?
Power to the people.
Yeah. Am I wrong?
Certainly not, mate.
I don't think so.
It's just, you know what, like I said, we've got an amazing opportunity right now. If anybody out there hasn't seen the movie Pay It Forward, go watch this movie. You know, it does have some sad parts in there. But the ultimate message of the whole thing is worthy of watching. I mean, it's a good message. Yeah.
I have to go now because in Europe we put the clocks forward by 1 hour, and I forgot about it. So I'm running kind of slightly wrong in my schedule today. So I have to do some jobs which I normally do later when the show is finished. So I have to reorganize everything for next week.
All right, brother. You just have a safe journey in your travels. And,
I'll see you next week, and I'm going to start looking at pricing the parts on that gadget, and anybody else gets a chance, they can look at pricing the parts, and then we can start to see how much it would cost in material to make it, and then we can look at whether it's worth making it, or will it work, and all those kind of questions. Okay, let you guys go and enjoy the Singapore, Steve.
Dublin, give me a shout if there's something you're struggling to get, because Singapore is the mecca of technology.
Oh yeah, I would imagine in the long run, mass production of gadgets like that will probably be made in Asia somewhere.
The point being,
$100.
I can get stuff here a lot cheaper than you can in Europe, and I'm quite happy to send it over.
Yeah, it could be the solution, yeah. Okay, well, we'll price locally Europe prices, American prices, and then we can start pricing Singapore prices, and if it's a quarter of the price, it's a no-brainer, buy it from Singapore.
I'm sure that capacitors would be much cheaper over there, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, capacitors are looking to be the most expensive part, so I would imagine that Singapore might be the place to get capacitors.
Well, if we can't buy them, we can make them.
See you next week.
Peace, brother. Take care.
Au revoir.
Bye.
Anyway, back to the whole solutions thing. You got it right, Steve. We got to get up. We got to make solutions. But part of what we're doing right here is bringing those solutions to the table that other people might not have found. You know, one of the things that has been really amazing since Steve and I have known each other is the research from both sides, you know. He might be looking into something, and I might have links to it. You know, I may have done some research on what it is that he's looking for, and he's used the internet to access things and find things for me. We have an amazing tool before us that, if used properly, there's nothing we can't figure out. There's nothing we can't find or learn. And, you know, how better could it get?
Last night I was sitting down with the director of a multinational Fortune 500 company. And I was just talking about a few of the alternative technologies that we've looked at. And she was blown away. I said, where do you come up with all this stuff? And I said, well, some of it's what we've found out ourselves, some of it is research that other people have done, but we have the sum of humanity's knowledge at our fingertips.
Well, and what's amazing is that, you know, as we're speaking right now, I know you can probably hear me typing in the background, I continuously get contact requests from people all over the world who's either seen my YouTube videos or whatever, you know, and they got other ideas, and we're trying to bring them into the Knights of the Round Table and stuff like that. And the sum of all knowledge is those people out there, man. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've got different languages, but people in different countries are picking it up and they're translating it. I mean, I don't like Google products very much, but something like Google Translate or even Babelfish give people in foreign languages the opportunity to live translate websites.
That's helped me.
They can understand.
I mean, I've translated quite a few YouTube pages and stuff like that. There's no audio translation, but even the comments, you get the, you know, you read the comments and you'll see what somebody's doing, and then you'll see the experiment that they're doing, or, you know, what they've designed, and they're going through it, and then just linking the comments to that, you kind of get a basic understanding of it. That's helped me a ton.
Well, if you guys think about it, and you look at what's going on out there as far as all the social medias and social networks, and you listen to all the comments going on out there, you take away all the knuckleheads, but you'll see that there's a whole lot of people out there, in the billions of people out there, who are actually really giving a damn about the world. It's really actually wanting to try to put something positive into the world. You know, to me, that's amazing.
I've just got a contact request. I've got an assistance request. Somebody's Skype's just changed it to Hungarian.
Wow.
So I'm actually trying to help them find the steps to go through it to change the language back.
Man, I had that happen on Google one time. It was like in Russian, and I couldn't read it, and I was like, oh, man. And I just kind of went and looked at some pictures and figured my way down the line.
Where things are supposed to be, setting.
Finally figured it out, got it back to American, but it took me a whole day to figure that one out, because, you know, if you don't understand the language, it's kind of hard to get where you're going, but... you know, shoot, the tools are there. We just got to keep on using them.
Yeah. So Steve, you looked into like permaculture stuff too?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
There's a guy that did a two-part documentary series. Jeff, something or other. I forget his name now. But he built permaculture systems in Jordan.
Shaziz is getting into his locker.
Now my log in the stove fell over and I'm trying to get it sorted out.
Oh.
I got a wood burning stove out here in my lab and that keeps me warm while I'm doing my show. Sorry about all the racket, but that's part of old Shaziz's Mad Science Lab / Knights of the Round Table. My throne is a squeaky old chair. Yeah, you know what, not to toot my own horn, but I wish we really did have a king with a heart like mine. You know, wish we had a king with a heart like yours.
I don't think many people are buying the concept that, you know, human beings are given the divine right to rule over everybody else by God anymore.
Well, I don't either, you know. The whole Knights of the Round Table, old King Shaziz the Terrible, you know, is just kind of a spoof on the elite of the world, you know. They always out there trying to tell people what to do, and here on the Knights of the Round Table, we're trying to ask people what they want to do, you know. We're trying to ask people, do you want a better world, you know, do you need my help to do it, you know, or whatever. Because at the end of the day, we're all in the same boat, man. It don't matter what your religious background, your racial, or any of that. You know, when this boat sinks, we all go down together, you know. It's a joint effort. And I personally don't want to see my brothers and sisters around the world suffer, you know. I don't want to see my kids grow up in a world where they got to walk through school with metal detectors in school and fear for their life or whatever, you know. And it's like... Well, as I was watching this movie, and I'm sure you've seen the movie, haven't you, Dida?
What? Yeah, Pay It Forward, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, the kids are walking into a school, and there's a metal detector there. You know, it's the kids are they're essentially going to prison on a daily basis.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really seriously disheartening when you see that a kid can't even go to school in peace. You know. How about these kids in the war-torn zones, you know, the drone strikes going off, blowing up the buildings around them and killing people all around them. You know, this is the life that these children have to be raised in. You know, this is what's going to define their future, their beliefs in other people, their faith in humanity being extinguished by a bomb blast, you know. Little kids talking about how they want to be a suicide bomber, you know. Any grown man, adult, or whatever, who would strap a bomb around a little child and tell him to go into a crowd and blow himself up, you know, that's not a man. That's evil. That's evil, you know what, SOB. I just...
That evil comes from only one place, and that's the, you know, the ego, the sin, the minds of men. And women, but, you know, the minds of people.
Well, you just
developed. We've created the good and evil. We've made that separation.
You just took the innocent and you just made them into the guilty. You know, that child doesn't even know when that child goes over and does what they're fixing to do. What kind of negativity is going to ripple across the land? Because every single time there's some sort of dispute going on when somebody kills somebody else. You know, I keep going back to my religious beliefs. I hesitate to use the word religion because it's almost like a filthy word in these days, but my spiritual beliefs, or whatever you want to call it, I keep going back to those Ten Commandments in there, you know, thou shalt not kill. I mean, that's a common sense thing to the wise individual. You kill somebody wants to kill you, you know. You cheat on somebody, or you steal from somebody wants to steal from you. And Jesus said, you know, honor thy mother and father. You know, he said, treat people the way you want to be treated. I want to be treated decent. You want to be treated decent. You know what I mean?
The people in the psychiatric institution asked me why I didn't try and sell this big printer. And I said, because you need the help more than I need the money.
See? And I bet the look on their face was priceless.
They were a bit shocked, especially when I turned up with 200 books. But they said, we'll take all you can get, so I bought all I had. You know, that's the way it goes. I mean, I am a firm believer in the people with the greatest need should get access to the resources. And they need it a lot more than I do.
Radio silence.
Oh, there's some tapping there.
Yeah.
Beat
going. Well, Thomas is online, I think, and I was trying to see if he wanted to come into the call there. Maybe you can get a hold of him.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happened to Coltus? He's dropped off the face of the earth.
Oh, no, he's been at my house for the last 9 days.
Yeah, I haven't been online much since moving and trashing everything and giving stuff away and trying to sell stuff. And But yeah, I hope he's okay.
Yeah, he's fine. They're heading back to Indiana right now. So anyway, you know, I started off this show talking about paying it forward. You know, it's a, some people don't understand what that actually means. You know, but it's a simple. It's a simple doing something out of the kindness of your heart that you'd want somebody to do for you, you know. Total stranger you never met before in your life helping you with a flat tire on the side of the road, or a total stranger giving you some money for a phone call, or lending you the cell phone or something like that, you know. Total stranger noticing that you're in trouble and comes out of the woodworks out of nowhere, almost like an angel from heaven, you know, to assist you in your time of need. Those folks
saying are, that, which is
this? Huh?
I'm gonna drop off and help Chrissy with changing her Skype language from Hungarian back to English.
All right, give her our love.
I will. So thanks for having me on. And I'll keep you updated on my progress. I'm off to see the Manpower Services tomorrow.
Cool.
To get me dependent visa. And hopefully they'll have some interest in what I'd like to do with my life.
Well, brother, you got our hearts with you. We know you're a good soul, man. We can't wait to see what you come up with.
Me too. Take care, guys.
Take care.
So, if you had words of wisdom that everybody on this planet would have to hear, what would they be, Dieden?
Oh, man.
That's a lot of talking, ain't it?
Yeah, well, no. It's that more of a lack of words. I don't know. Find your own words of wisdom, I guess. Look within.
Well, my simple to that whole deal is to listen to your heart, man.
Yeah.
You got to pay attention to the brain, but it seems like the best things come from the heart. You know, do we got Thomas in here? Thomas, you there?
Yeah, I'm listening to you guys. So we got somebody else who came back in there?
I think we got Mitko back.
He's in and out.
Yeah, he's got a little connection issues, but I'll tell you what, he's a trooper. He sticks in there. That's pretty cool. Now, we were talking about paying it forward, Thomas. We were talking about, I don't know if you got a chance to see that movie, if you ever get an opportunity, there's a good valuable lesson in there, you know. And I think that what we do here on the Knights of the Round Table is essentially that, you know. Sometimes we get a little wild, sometimes we get a little carried away, and sometimes we even go off topic a bit, but for the most part, I think our hearts are in the right place, and we want to try to put some positivity out there, some good positive informations, and some solutions. And you know, like everybody keeps saying, it's not all about just talking; it's about doing. You know, and even those folks that are listening out there, you can make a difference. Tell your friends on Facebook and YouTube. You know, come jump in a chat room, jump on the Knights, or if you don't like our radio network, there's links to multiple other radio networks. There's the whole thing is to get in your minds to actually doing something besides worrying about life, you know. You know, doomsday, like I said, you know, in my beliefs, it says that he'll come to you like a thief in the night. And with everything out there, whether it be death or war or whatever, it doesn't come with nobody sends you a note and says, hey, you know, in about 5 minutes from now, World War III is going to start or the doomsday is going to hit. It just, like, worst case scenario, you know, Murphy's Law, if it can go wrong, it does go wrong, and it always happens at the wrong time, the worst possible time, you know, when you're not prepared. And so, for all those doomsday preppers out there, my heart goes out to all of them because of all the ridicule they take, but the truth of the matter is, if something really did occur, they would probably be the best off. You know, they would probably be for the better for their families because they actually took the time to do something, you know. And so, you know, any kind of preparation would be good. You know, everybody has to buy auto insurance in case they get in a wreck. And you talk about buying auto insurance in case you get in a wreck or a home insurance or whatever, in case your house burns down. But where's your food insurance? Where's your water insurance? Where's your spiritual insurance, you know? You know, I just said spiritual insurance. What's that? You know? What is that? That's these friends you got out here, you know? That's your like-minded people that you're around. They are there whenever you need them the most, you know? I've come on here a few times. I've been so down because I've seen so many terrible things going on, and I feel helpless and I can't do nothing about it. And my friends, they put me back on the ground. They remind me that, you know, it's not all for nothing. That there is a reason why we're doing what it is that we're doing. You know? And there's power in what you're doing. And so my spiritual insurance is I go out and make as many of these friends as I can because these guys are my gold. These guys are, you can put as many gold coins in your pocket as you want. Eventually, your pants are going to fall down. But you put another gold, you put another friend in your circle, your pants ain't falling down. But you always got, you got somebody there who gives a damn about you, and that's the key, you know. And the things that they got to share with you and the things that you have to share with them is what is actually making our world a better place. The pay it forward thing talked about, you make three people's lives better, they go out and make three other people's lives better, and then eventually the numbers get so astronomical that you span the entire globe. Something as simple as throwing a positive pebble into the pond, you know. It does make a difference. And talking is not just not doing nothing. Talking is opening minds to thoughts and hopes. Am I wrong?
No. This is a radio show, too.
Yeah. We got to talk on the radio because you can't necessarily see us. And in some cases, you know, you might not want to see us. I don't always comb my hair because I like my mad science look like Albert Einstein, you know. It's character. Oh, man, but you can feel the love. You can feel the love on the Knights of the Round Table, man. You can feel it. And everybody's welcome. That's the key, man. Everybody's welcome. You come up here, you say your peace, you let the world hear what it is that's on your mind, your ideas, your solutions, your hopes, your dreams. Heck, I even offered if you got a song, you want to come on here and sing a song or read a poem that you wrote or something like that. Anything that's positive that you can share with the world, man, that's it. I mean, we could all go around, run around the neighborhood kicking each other's trash cans over, but at the end of the day, all we're going to be left with is one heck of a mess that we got to clean up.
That kind of reminds me of that little meme cartoon that goes around where the guy's like, screw this, and he's throwing the papers on the urn, and the next one you see, he's like, oh, just kidding, it's actually still Wednesday, picking the papers back up.
But there's a valuable lesson in there, ain't there?
Yeah.
The thing is, man, to me, these friends out here, I've said it over and over again, I'm honored and I'm humbled that I got friends out here, like Thomas. You know, Thomas, you've got a wisdom that it's amazing. You've got a heart of gold. You've got a lot of good ideas, and the fact that you're coming here and you're willing to share it with me and everyone else, you know, you're not looking for a color. You're not looking for a race or religion or anything like that. You're looking out into the world and you're saying it to everybody. You're not discriminating. You're not just saying, you know, I'm only going to give this information to whoever I deem worthy. You're saying it. You see in your heart that there is a better way to the world, and with all your research and knowledge, you're sharing it with the world. That's what makes a night. And I want to thank you, man.
I still think the energy thing, as long as we've got people in power that are reaching in your pocket to basically take every penny they can, the best way to make sure everybody has that power is to basically make sure that you spread it word of mouth and don't make sure everybody has it, but don't let everybody know that everybody else has it. That way they don't know, they can basically show up and, you know, take half your paycheck now because, you know, you're not spending it on your electric bill anymore.
Well, I've been spending a lot.
There are those people that, as soon as they find out you've got some extra money, boy, they're there with their hand out and their gun, you know, a gun in one hand and a hand in your wallet, on, you know, with the other.
Like, if it's the idea of money in the first place that kind of creates that problem. I mean, that's why you have those elites that want to control the situation and fear losing it. You know, so I agree with you, and to spread the knowledge. You know, if you put a video up on YouTube and stuff like that and you spread it out, then people can learn it quite fast that way as well. But you might be right. If you might want to spread it.
I don't think people first. Well, I don't think a video on YouTube is going to do any good. Period. They just don't do really very much because there are just so many scams. Face to face video chat. You know, if you got something that really works, get in a little chat room with four or five other people.
Oh, brother, I'm like this.
And sit down and show the other people what you're doing, and then walk them through it while they're doing it. Help them get to the end goal. Don't just, you know, throw something out there and walk away.
I'm like this, brother. I've been putting a system together for the last 10 years that by which I'm throwing positive pebbles or maybe if you want to call it incense or flower petals in every corner on every stinky spot in the world in order to literally pace the planet with positive pebbles in every direction and hoping that somebody will pick up on it. So, like you said, you can't just rely on the YouTube. You can't just rely on your social networks. What we're doing here, you know, spreading the message, I tell you, you tell your friend, and when we got something good, I want to, by the time I'm done with what it is that I'm trying to accomplish, everyone already knows what it is that I'm doing. They know why I'm doing it, and they know how to do it themselves. And so that's what I've been up to. I'm trying to do something that I feel is going to benefit society.
Right.
But
well, you're pulling that it's that friend thing that you talked about, you know, because every friend that you've got, most every friend you've got, you know, every person that's out there, and then this is, you know, speaking to everyone. This isn't just talking specifically to you because you were the one that was just talking, but to everyone. Every friend you have basically has someone they know that you don't know, that you're not friends with, that, you know, you haven't had the opportunity to get, you know, connected with, or they're just, you know, you just barely know them, and you know, they spend a little more time with them than, you know, any of the other people that you know. So you've got this massive spider web where basically these people are all connected in one way or another. Somebody, I think, was saying that there's only like seven steps to basically being related to virtually everyone in the world in one way or another. So that, you know, that thing of basically helping the people that are around you and then just, like you said, passing it forward actually does work. It works really well. The problem is we've got too many people passing bad forward, too. So we need to start, you know, thinking, when you're doing something out there, think about how it's going to affect the other people that you're not helping, you know, directly. Make sure you're not helping somebody in such a manner where it's going to end up hurting a whole bunch of other people, and then you're throwing more negativity by trying to be positive with that one action.
you know.
Yeah, it comes with wisdom and responsibility. You know, you gotta, like I said, for, you know, it's, they say in science, for every action is an equal and opposite reaction, and so you got to factor those things in before you do anything that you do. You know, and as overwhelming as the world may appear, nothing positive ever comes out of a negative, you know. And if you don't do something, if all you do is nothing, nothing gets done. If you do something, at least
something gets done. If you do nothing, then much worse will end up happening, because nature harbors a vacuum. So, you know, it's like, you know, if you spend the whole day and try not to learn anything at all and just sit around and do nothing, you're going to actually know less than you knew the day before, because your brain is going to basically delete certain things during that time that, you know, you haven't used in a long time. So you want to keep constantly trying to strive forward. I mean, we're pushing against that vacuum. We're lucky we have the sun constantly filling our void with lots of heat, but, you know, beyond the sun out there, there's nothing. And within this field you're talking about, it's the same way. That darkness is always out there waiting to come back in if you're not shining, you know?
Oh, yeah, and that darkness that you're talking about, the vacuum, the abyss will suck you in faster than you can possibly imagine. You can believe it or not, but doing bad things feels good to a lot of people. And it's addictive.
Well, what's worse is that there are some people that do bad things and they don't feel anything at all.
Yeah, that's the scary person there.
I think that's the real idea of what we consider bad or good, is that not doing anything at all is essentially the bad we speak of. You know, but in the darkest void, it may seem absent of light and energy from our perspective, but on grand scale of things, there's still light there. There's still energy there. We just can't see it.
So right.
Looking into the darkness and trying to use your perspective and your light to find that light, you know, it's
right.
Not never an easy task, that's for sure.
Well, you know what?
Well, I mean, that's the thing I was just, you know, talking to somebody else last night about. We were kind of, you know, somebody else basically on one of the other shows, I won't say who or anything like that, but they were talking about, you know, they were basically getting into some crazy, crazy notions, and it was basically showing just how much the world has basically done damage to them, to where, you know, they're seeing darkness around every corner. They're seeing evil out to get them in every little, you know, mote of dust floating in the air, when they were talking about these little microscopic helicopters, you know, the size of flies and stuff like that. And it's like these same people basically have, you know, they're needing this more than anybody else to get away from that negativity that they're seeing, because they're going to keep spreading that negativity. And there are those that are susceptible to it that will keep listening to it and, you know, feed on it, and basically they get worse too.
You know? Well, and that's why I keep trying to tell everybody out here that this whole deal with the Knights of the Round Table isn't about fear-mongering. Sometimes we have to talk about that bad things going on in the world, but we're not talking about it to the point as, you know, doomsday, the sky is falling, run for your life, hide underneath your bed or whatever like that, because we don't want people spending their lives hiding underneath the bed. We want people doing positive things to make the world a better place, to avert any kind of calamity like that, you know? Look,
right.
I'm going to go back.
Don't even bring something up that no one can do anything about. Let's talk about what we can do.
I agree.
If we're going to talk about something bad that's going on, let's figure out what we can do to stop it from happening.
I agree.
Or to shift it. Or replace, if it's a system like we have right now that's so corrupt. You don't have to destroy that system to fix, to make the corruption go away. We can just replace it with something better. A lot of people throw completely good computers away because they got a computer that can now do something that other one couldn't do anymore.
Yeah.
Let's just do the same thing with our system, you know?
I quoted something.
Make it easier to upgrade, too. Make it so you can interchange the parts where it's not set to one certain parameter, or, you know.
Well, let's say two words, phone blocks.
Yeah, those are awesome.
So, I quoted something from my own personal spiritual beliefs, is that, you know, in my belief system, that my God would come back like a thief in the night, you know. And I also said that, you know, it's not just, you know, God, if you look at it, it's life, it's disaster, it's things like, you know, Murphy's Law. If it can go wrong, it will. And it always seems to occur at the worst possible moment. So none of us would ever be prepared for anything such as World War III blowing off. You know, it would just happen, you know. It would happen at the worst possible time. But in the meantime, if you spend your life trying to live in fear of what could go wrong, you're not only going to cheat yourself, but you're going to cheat your family and your children out of a good, happy life. You got to try to keep your chin up in the worst case scenarios all the way. If the thing does happen, you are prepared because you threw a few extra canned goods on the store or on your shelves or whatever, you know. You're prepared because spiritually you've been preparing your family for anything that could possibly go wrong. You're giving them the life skills to go on into their future and to send that same life skills to their children and then their children and into beyond, so that if doomsday never comes around, at least everyone has a positive reference by which they can actually do something good for the world. You see where I'm coming from?
And to find your unique, what the things that, you know, you're passionate about, that and give them, or, you know, just explore them, express them, and at the same time listen to others that have the same thing, because we all have something that we're passionate about. You know, we all have our unique, you know, aspect of being alive, being human.
And there are folks out there who, like Thomas said, dwell on negativity. There's some people who seem to thrive on, you know, people feeling sorry for them, or people, you know, the tragedy going on in the world. There's always got to be some sort of drama in their life, and those people, they don't realize that while they're doing it, what they're doing, they're dragging everyone else down around them. And it's not, we're not wanting to drag anyone down, we're wanting to lift them up, because the human spirit, the soul, is capable of so much, you know. And that's why I always say that if you lose so much as one human life, all of humanity just took a hit. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not just that person's family. It's you yourself that just took a hit. That may be the very same individual that comes out with the cure for cancer that put it in the people's hands instead of the corporate hands, and it actually got to the people as opposed to all the conspiracies
You should probably try to be a little more clear about that too, because, I mean, people die all the time.
Yeah.
What we're not looking to do is to stop death. We're just looking to stop people from dying in a bed where they're basically regretting everything that they didn't do in their life.
Yeah.
You know, if you're gonna try to make it so that those who have to die basically are dying happy with what they've done.
No one needs to die needlessly, and no one needs to die alone.
Right. You achieve in the present. You know, right now you reach out to somebody and you say, you know, that's actually the most important thing right there. I was listening to this thing the other day, and you know, they basically reiterated something that I had, you know, thought and heard numerous times throughout my life, and that's that, you know, how can I, you know, overcome this depression? How can I do anything to you know, what, how do you get your motivation to do what you do? And they said, I'm going to tell you what the best motivation I have in the world is. One day you are going to die. No matter what you do, one day you will die. And when you die, do you really want to be, especially because of all the advancements we have now, people die a very slow death in a bed where they have plenty of time to think about all the stuff that happened and all the stuff that didn't happen. And do you want to spend more time thinking about all the stuff that didn't happen and being regretful that you've now run out of time and can't do it? Or would you like to look back on all those things and reflect on all the things you were capable of doing and you actually got out and did? You know, but which do you want to be going out of this world with, you know, as a thought on your mind?
Yeah, I would like to
get up and do something right now. That's one more thing that you can think about. I did it. I tried it. Even if it didn't work, I at least gave it a shot and found out that it wouldn't work. You know, whatever. You know, going back to that the Bible thing that Shaziz was talking about earlier, there's the parable with the, you know, the three servants where basically the master gives them each, what was it, 10 talents? Which is kind of funny that they call their, you know, their money talent then.
considering what we consider talent. But he gave him 10 talents and said, go out into the marketplace and, you know, try to come back with more, you know, more than I gave you. And one of them basically goes out and he's pretty successful and gets some extra ones. And when he comes back, you know, he's got his, he gets, you know, some praise for that. The other one goes out and he's like, oh, you know, I don't want to lose these. I don't know enough about this. And he just hides them and comes back and the master beats him for not even trying. And that's what a lot of people don't get whenever they hear that, because, you know, he rewards the one who basically went out and lost the talents, and he punishes the one who didn't lose them because he didn't try at all. It's because he didn't try. He didn't do anything with his life. He just went out there, walked around, and was basically nothing more than a sucking hole of nothing, and came back with exactly what he left with, you know, which, if you look at, since it was money, you look at the way inflation works. That means he actually came back with less than he started out with, because it's worth less the next day.
You know what I would have done if I was in that situation? I would have went out and I would have used that money to uplift a whole bunch of people and come back with a whole lot of friends to show. You know, they say a fool and his money soon parted, but to me, it's not a fool if you can help, if you can uplift somebody, you know?
Well, it's all about who you're giving your money to and why, you know?
Well, yeah, I would have to...
You should always look for profit in the money that you give out. Even if that profit is, you know, basically, like you said, changing somebody's life so that they'll end up basically doing even more good than that money would ever have done you to spend it now, you know?
Well, you got to...
Saving somebody's life, like you said, that might end up be bringing the cure to cancer. How many millions of dollars are thrown into that hole that's not bringing any cures yet? You throw $10 to save one person's life, and in 5 or 10, 20 years, they come up with that cure. That means basically that cure to cancer cost $5 to $10.
You got a barefoot man over there, needs a pair of shoes, and you take some of that money, you buy that man a pair of shoes, and now he can walk over to your house and help you with your chores, you know?
Yeah.
So... Where did you lose, you know? Even if he walks over to him and gets him a job and goes in the opposite direction and passes that on to somebody else. You see what I mean? It's a no-lose situation anytime you help somebody out.
Yeah.
So... You know, with that said, that movie, if you ever get an opportunity, if you haven't seen it yet, go see the movie, Pay It Forward. You know, it's just, there's a really powerful message in there. And once again...
I was going to say, if you get the chance to see the movie Snowpiercer, don't. It's just some ridiculousness that ends up, because of the perpetual motion machine that's in it, they basically end up ragging more on the people who are trying to move forward too, you know, making them sound more ridiculous than ever, because the movie is just complete ridiculousness. If the two movies are available for you to see, go see the Pay It Forward and ignore the other one. Even though the other one's glossy and has well-known actors, it's not worth it.
Let me tell you something. There's a
Snowpiercer. It's so stupid. It's just like they're blasted humanity's riding around in a train, and you know they saw the global warming thing coming and decided to try to do something about it, and it counteracted it so badly that the whole world was completely snowed in. So you know this guy built a perpetual motion running train. It has got the last of humanity riding around in a train all the time, over and over, and it's just so terrible. Well, yeah, number one. Number two, you know, who's fixing the track? They've been out there for 70 years riding around on train track.
It's a perpetual track.
Yeah, of course. The track never breaks down, too, you know, of course. I mean, it's just these really ridiculous mechanics to a story. They just basically, you know, it's worse than those kids that you see out in the street going, I shot you. Well, I had a shield. Well, I had special bullets that went through your shield. Like... Just make whatever you have to up, you know, as you go. I mean, it's, you know, worse than how bad Star Trek was getting there for a while, where they just make stuff up as they go to basically enable them to keep telling stories, you know?
Well, let me tell you guys a story. I don't know if you guys have heard it, and I'm just paraphrasing because my memory don't serve me perfectly, but there's a story in there that Jesus used a parable about the weeds, you know, the weeds and the wheat and the harvest and all that kind of stuff. And one guy had asked him about, do you want us to go out there and cut down all these weeds? And Jesus told him, no, just let the weeds grow right alongside the wheat. And the reason being was that in the process of cutting down one of those weeds, you could accidentally cut down one to be harvested. And so the reason why I brought that up is because somebody had said something to me about a whole lot of people out there in the world, you know, being spiritually dead. And these people out there who may or may not be considered to be spiritually dead, those are the weeds, you know. We're the wheat, and by leading by example, hopefully they'll be the wheat as well. And we will, you know, bring them over to the right side, whatever side that may be, as far as the goodness or humanity in your own personal beliefs. But I'm not willing to give up on that weed yet, you know. I'm not willing to give up on that one individual who seems to be lost. I'm not willing to give up on even the guy who is just a total jerk. Because in order to make this world a better place, you got to take the bad ideas. You got to take the good ideas. You got to find the positive in both of them. Even the bad idea has a positive message. It has a positive lessons to learn. As well as the good ideas. We are all who we are today because of all the negativity that we've had to endure our entire lives. We were defined by the world that we grew up in and what we learned from that world. And so since all of us have been down a hard road and we don't want to see anyone else repeat that road, and we have that knowledge within us to share to others to hopefully steer them in the opposite direction. You know, we may tell somebody, you know, you shouldn't do that because this is what's going to happen. This is what happened to me. And they may not listen to you. They may go down that road. But when they get to the final deal and they've seen that you were right, they're liable to come back and ask you, hey, you know, I'm fixing to go down this road over here. Last time you told me about that road, you was right on, and I got hurt. What do you think about this one? You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
That's the way I look out into the world.
People never listen either, though. You can show them that you're right about things over and over and over again, and they still question you the next time.
Well, you know, and I'm
sure they're just basically doubters, you know, that are out there that will never do anything but doubt.
It's just different lessons. Everybody's learning different lessons, you know, at different times.
I'm sure you're correct in that, but the whole thing is, you know, I like I said, I'm a dreamer. I'm not willing to give up on this world until this world's done. I'm not willing to, you know, until the fat lady sings, until the bell's rung, until the apocalypse occurs, until there is no hope whatsoever and it all is said and done, I am not willing to give up saying what it is that I'm saying to the world, because if there is any possible way that something I say or something I do could benefit this world to the extent that it would literally change this world, that is the ultimate goal in my heart.
But, you know, the question that, you know, I have to keep coming back to is, you know, what if we don't have an apocalypse? What if the world doesn't end? What if it just keeps going on, you know, and all these people who have done nothing basically have not promoted it forward at all? So, you know, we've lost a few steps by the time, you know, we're ready to check out. And, you know, these other people still have to keep putting up with it. I think that's part of the whole doomsday thing and the apocalypse things is that, you know, it's promoted by those people who basically want to do what they want to do today and not worry about tomorrow, because, you know, if they get you thinking there isn't going to be a world tomorrow, then you're going to be more willing to throw trash out your window and not care how much you're tearing things up.
Oh, yeah, and you're going to buy generators, and you're going to buy survival gear, and you're going to buy this. You can buy everything, but the whole one thing that you can't buy is you can't buy back your own soul, man. You give it away to sheer evil, you done lost. You know what I'm saying?
Right, but like I said, you know, they get you to basically tear everything up and destroy everything because, you know, you're thinking, well, there's not going to be a world left tomorrow anyway because the apocalypse is coming, so, you know, I don't have to worry about the way the world's going to be left whenever, you know, whenever I go for my children. nature's patterns, right? Every night, if you look at it this way, every night that you die, and every morning you are reborn, and that is a reoccurring pattern in all of nature. So, though it may seem perilous and, you know, just nothing's going to happen, or it may seem, you know, or you can always speculate on the future. It's an illusion, but to live now is really, in the present is what will get you further in the future, so to speak. I mean, and it may seem like, you know, humanity might fall apart or whatever, but there is a progression nonetheless, and it will continue.
Well,
so it's just a matter of whether you want to live in the present and do something with what you have, you know, exploring life, or you don't, basically.
Here's my view on the thing, you know. I've led a really fruitful life. I've led an exciting life. I've done a whole lot of stuff, and I've enjoyed a lot of things. And these things that I've enjoyed weren't, you know, they didn't come for free. Somebody, they were on the backs of somebody. It was the soldier that was fighting for my freedom. It was the grocer, the cook, the doctor, the nurse. You know, it was somebody. It was a friend. It was a neighbor. And so, coming from my learnings from my entire life and my own spiritual belief, I may be shouting into the wind, and I may never, ever, ever see the fruits of my labor, but I am perfectly willing, and I'm perfectly content to be a servant to humanity and do whatever it is that I can to pay that forward to all the future generations of humanity. And if it goes on forever and there never is a doomsday, I would be a happy camper, because I love this planet. I love the people on this planet. I love my God and Creator, and I would love to see that everyone eventually finally wises up and starts to treat each other almost like in that doggone movie I saw, where there was a utopian society where everyone out there was asking each other, do you need some bread, brother? Do you need some water, sister? Or do you need some clothes? Or who needs a warm towel or whatever? And they were doing for each other and taking care of one another, being the caretakers that in my religion we were set out here to be. We were caretakers of the land and all the animals. We were to take care of one another's and be servants to one another. So I put myself above no man on this planet, because I'm no better, no worse than anybody on this planet. And my heart bleeds the same color there does, and I want to see nothing but goodness come about. I've been down the dark path before, and believe me, it's not pretty.
Yeah. We all have our own paths to walk, but in the end, you know, it gets to the same place.
Yep, and like I said, we're all in the same boat when the boat sinks.
We're always living the fruits of our labor right now. I mean, if you just silence the mind sometimes, you can recognize that, you know, or maybe you can, I don't know, but in stillness there is a great amount of beauty, and just in movement,
yes.
Even in the complete stillness, you'll see that there is, it's never still, it's like just immense waves of energy or being or however you want to look at it, and what's beautiful about it is
just don't overlook the simple blessings. I think that's what you're trying to say, brother.
Yeah, that'd be a good way to put it, too.
Well, guys, we're down to the last 7 minutes of the show, so 3 minutes before we go into our outro there. It's that time to go around the table. Thomas, you want to give it a start?
I have nothing. I said so much earlier on that all I would be doing is just repeating myself. I've never been good at that too long didn't read thing, you know, where you concise everything down. So just, you know, I guess if I'm gonna say something, it'll be, you know, you're remember one day you're gonna die. Don't die with a bunch of regrets. Go out and do something today, and don't stop today after today's over. Do something tomorrow and the next day, you know, and just keep doing things so that basically you've got this big pile of stuff that you've done at the end, and you can sift through it for the, you know, from the good and the bad. Don't let the bad ruin the good for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Challenge yourself to enjoy life.
Well, I was going to say, if you let one bad thing happen to stop you from doing anything else ever again for fear of something bad happening, then you're nothing good will ever. You'll never do anything good either.
Yep.
You know, you'll just have a bunch of nothing. A bunch of days you wasted, you know.
I agree. So, challenge
don't
yourself.
Don't waste the day. You only have so many of them, you know. You only get so many.
challenge yourself to be the best that you can be, and challenge yourself to enjoy life and make it right for everyone else, man.
Right. So,
how about you, Dieden?
Pretty much the same, along the same lines. I guess I would say, you know, every night reflect and recognize that, you know, you're alive, and you know, and essentially let go and die, and then the next morning be reborn. Have a new outlook. Look how a child looks at life. Innocence. Nothing has been programmed. Has no predisposition. There's just being, right? And there's root emotions in that being. And so every night and every morning, be die and be reborn, I guess, is what I would.
Yeah, and with that said, you know, I don't know if we got Mitko on there. I've seen his little deal going up and down, so I think he's not connected. But thanks, Mitko, for being there. But either way, you know, like Dieden said, you know, every morning you wake up with a clean slate. You know, when you go to bed at night, you can't change nothing that happened yesterday, but you have the opportunity to define tomorrow. And so with that said, you take that clean slate and that fresh sunrise, and you make it the best that you possibly can, because you don't know whether or not tomorrow's going to be here, but you don't stress over whether or not tomorrow's going to be here. You just live life to the fullest. Make it the best you possibly can, and if you care about the world, try to pay it forward. Peace and love.
Old woman! Old woman!
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons.
Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot! Camelot! Camelot!
It's only a model.
Shh!
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to... Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routines, we call a scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam art. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off to bed in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm.
have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right. Right.
Survive the Turbo! All rise for King Survive the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table!